Sommeren bedre med meny, og denne uken får du blant annet 30% rabatt på et stort utvalg spekemat. Sommerkoteletter til 79,90 per kilo, 8-pakk Pepsi Max til 109 kroner, og store frosne reker til 119 kroner kilo, både i butikk eller levert hjem. Meny, spiser du bedre, lever du bedre.
Noen intervjuer skulle jeg gjerne gjort igjen, for eksempel det med autopsi. Her I Jernverket heter Helle Stenkløv, og jeg traff Reifert og kompani som reporter for Pyro på NRK P3 I 2012. I 2012 hadde Pyro på NRK P3 en mitt beste rockeminneserie. Jeg var utskremt reporter og skulle snakke med en høg band på Inferno, og målet var å få dem til å si noe a la hallo. Dette Ernst Olav fra Vassengutane. Mitt beste rockeminne var når jeg oppdaget pøls og konjak. Mer enn det trengtes ikke, men det ble fort litt mer lell. Jeg traff blant annet autopsi, og kan si at spontaniteten og nervøs engelsken min har forbedret seg noen hakk siden da. Men før du får høre herre gamle slageren har jeg en beskjed. Det nemlig ikke gratis å lage podcast, og det dessverre ikke millionlønninger å spore enda heller. Så hvis du vil støtte Jernverket med et par slanter, kan du bidra med et månedlig valgfritt beløp via patreon.com/jernverket, eller send noen kroner via VIPs nummer 567438. All informasjon står nederst I episodebeskrivelsen med en lenke som fører jeg rett inn på siden. Tusen takk for alle bidragene. Det med på å holde Jernverket I livet.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with Autopsy, and I thought we could go the round and just where you present yourself, what you do in the band, and who you are.
I'm Eric Cutler. I play guitar and do some vocals.
I'm Chris Reifert. I play drums and do vocals.
Joe Trevisano, and I am the bass player.
So welcome to Norway.
Thank you.
How are you guys doing?
Really tired. Good. Good but good. Tired. Really great.
Yeah, because you've been here for a few days now.
Oh, we got here yesterday. Yeah.
Just one night to settle in so far, but it's been a good trip so far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to playing tonight.
Hung out and had some beers last night, so feeling pretty good.
Yes.
But this is your first time at Inferno, isn't it?
Yes.
How does it feel to... You've been at Hole in the Sky before, but how is it to be in the capital of Norway playing as this?
Ah, so far so good.
We love it. It's obviously a big city. So, and it's, when you're playing in a big city, there's a good, you know, chance there's going to be a lot of people there. So that's what you want. So, yeah, we're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be kick-ass.
Are you going to see any bands for yourself before you play?
I hope so. Well, I know we're going to see some of Absu. You know, so that'll be cool. But besides that, it's hard to say. We've been just running around and being kind of busy, so it might be hard to actually watch very much.
It's rare we get to see much of a set of anybody. We maybe see a little bit if we're lucky.
Once we get there, we start just sort of getting ready and, you know. Yeah,
but we hope to see a little bit of Absu. They go on.
Yeah, right before us.
So we want to see some of them.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's just start at the beginning. Autopsy, you started already in 1987.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you tell us about the scene at that time and about your early years? What led you to start the band, Chris?
Seemed like a good thing to do, huh?
Yeah. We were young and we loved metal just like now, and it was young then, and it just seemed like the fun thing to do, so...
We'd already had bands before and stuff, but once we decided to form a band together, Eric and I, didn't, I don't know, it was just pretty obvious what we were going to do. We wanted to make brutal death metal because we loved it and loved to play it. And here we are still doing it.
That's right.
But you were in death?
Yeah, before Autopsy, yeah.
So what? But why exactly the death metal genre? There were also heavy metal bands... Thrash bands, the metal scene was big at that time. Why did the death metal scene attract you that much?
Because it's brutal and it sounds cool. Yeah. You can write about horror and totally disgusting things and it actually fits the music.
We wrote a lot of stuff. We'd watch a lot of horror films too. And we'd write stuff along the same lines of the horror films. So it just seemed like the music needed to match that. And it needed to be brutal and sick and be death metal to match it. So it just... we just kind of play what comes natural anyways to us. So
just autopsy. It's in the blood.
Yeah.
So you watch a lot of horror movies?
Not as much now. They don't really make them like they used to, I don't think. But I still watch all my favorite ones, the ones I've never gotten tired of. So there's some of those I just keep going back to.
Which ones are those?
Like all the Fulci stuff. That's like always favorite. All the Romero zombie stuff. You know, the classics. You know, the Universal horror movies and the Hammer ones. Yeah. It's just kind of like same old ones, you know, but never get tired of them.
But you were so lucky that you got signed before you gave out your first album, didn't you?
But
yeah,
we traded the demo a lot. And I think, was it Jeff from Carcass?
Yeah.
That, like sent it around to Peaceville and some other places. So
well, I'm and Danny's here now.
We're at our lawyer's office right now.
We are you joining?
Huh?
Are you joining?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. Hi.
How you doing? What's
I'm
up?
Helle.
What's your name?
Helle.
Helle.
Yeah, like in hell, and then with another A.
Helle, glad to meet you, Helle.
Awesome.
And you?
Jeremiah.
Helle. Hi.
There you go. Long table.
Okay. Yeah. Then we got more members here.
Hey, okay, all right. One more. Yeah.
Yeah. Where were we? We were talking about your first album and how you got to get the record deal.
Oh yeah.
We were trading the demos out, like, you know, back then days. It was really cool to trade demo tapes. And it was Jeff from Carcass, right?
Yeah. He told Hammy from Peaceville about us, and Hammy wrote to us a letter. An actual letter
in those
and
days.
We sent him the demos, like, all right, here you go. And he offered us a deal. We signed it.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything about Peaceville or anything else. No. We just said, oh, cool, this looks good. Let's sign this.
Yeah.
That was kind of it.
You've actually been with them for years, haven't you?
Yeah, like 24 years now, basically. I think they signed us in 88. And then, like, beginning of 89 is in January is when we went in and recorded the album. So, yeah, like 24 years ago.
Cool. Could you tell us about your albums? I know you've been through a lot of styles before you came back with an album last year. You gave out, what can I say? You've been through death metal and more hardcore. Why all these style changes?
I don't see it, any of that stuff is that different, really. Like, Abscess definitely had, like, a punk edge to it, but at the end of the day, it was still the death metal band.
Plus, your bands of all different kinds of genres, so it's hard to stick to just one playing style. I mean, to me, they're similar, pretty much. But we listen to all kinds of varied stuff, so, you know, it's fun to, you know, just play something different.
Yeah. With all the influences we have roaming through our heads at any time. I mean, the songwriting for Autopsy is probably, you know, sticks to kind of one format for the most part, but
we're not gonna, like, do weird things with Autopsy,
right?
You know, like, we get restless, so we,
I guess we felt we had, you know, a lot of room to move around with the sound.
Like, some projects are strictly for drinking, so you're just gonna get hella drunk and just play wild and crazy.
Yeah,
not really, you know. Other bands, you're going to do your very best to make the best musical product. So there's different, you know, you feel different ways at different times. So you got to express those things.
Yeah, as long as it's enjoyable.
Yeah, I just think it kind of goes back to the influences we connected with and, inspired the ideas to write some songs and go in and kind of, you know, add our...
Yeah,
take to
we
it.
Got influenced, like, the Dead Boys, even, like, the Rolling Stones, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with that said, we never go into the writing process with a frame of mind of, we're going to write an album like this, or like that, or, you know, we're going to do a bunch of Toto covers.
So. there's always been a lot of freedom.
Next album.
I think is a cool aspect of Autopsy is that there's always been a lot of freedom for each of us to, you know,
like
step
to keep,
up and bring
you know,
something
to keep
to the
ourselves
table.
Guessing too, you know,
yeah.
Make it exciting for us as well. So,
yeah, it kind of sparks some originality too, because it's not just coming from one creative person, you know, it's a mixed effort.
So everyone are really writing together. there aren't one brain now.
Well, in some ways it's separate because we tend to write our own song and bring a completed song. There's been times where, though,
sometimes we'll go in on a song, but yeah, most of the time it's already figured out before it makes its way into the practice room.
Yeah, but you guys...
We're all open to throwing song ideas. Yeah, you know, there's no one in the band that, like,
Chris and Eric write most of the actual songs. Like, Chris is probably the most, and then Eric, and then...
And then Danny and I throw...
It's probably about half and half.
I'll throw in,
what we can.
There's a longer tune on the album. Guitar solos and whatnot, but that was kind of when I was brought in. You know, I think they were looking for another lead guitar player. So my way of looking at things was, you know, to make every guitar solo, you know, vital to that particular song. So that's my way of kind of writing. You know, to, you know, like, you don't want to hear Sever Survival unless that guitar solo is there, or Grip of Winter needs that guitar solo. So that's kind of a craft. You know, that's kind of my responsibility. And Eric could agree because he does the same things. His solos are like compositions within compositions too, you know. So
yeah, it gives the song its
character. Yeah. So, and we're all open to say anything, you know. Joe might come up and say, "Hey, what if this goes like this instead of that or something?" So, you know, it's an open process. But usually, Chris or I will have a main idea, and then, you know, it'll either get manipulated or not, depending on how we work it out as a band.
Yeah, everyone's got say, though.
Yeah. But you've been through tough times, too, because at the end of the first wave with Autopsy, there weren't many people coming to your concerts.
Oh, yeah.
The good old days.
Thanks for the memories. Beautiful times.
We had a lot of really good shows, and then sometimes it just mostly depended on if the show was promoted well, like on the infamous final tour. You know, we played a lot of places where no one knew that we were playing, and so we'd show up and like a week later, you know, we'd have friends go, "Oh, you played right near where I live," and I didn't even know.
The States never had, like, here in Europe you guys have a great fan base and everyone's into it and loves it and knows the bands, and even now in the States it's not that big, but back then it was even less so you know, it's a little niche. You either know or you don't. So
yeah, we always did really good coming overseas, you know, like Europe or, you know, UK or now Scandinavia finally, so
we had one rough tour, and then we did a few albums, and we gave it a break for a while, just because that's what we felt like doing.
But as long as it's worth it doing it.
Yeah, there was no big one thing, but it was just kind of...
We weren't headlining festivals or nothing back then.
Yeah.
So it's a little different now, but...
Yeah, we were living off of gas station food for weeks at a time. Living in some beat up old Winnebago.
Sleeping in a van in pizza formation.
Yeah.
So you really got superstars or big after you split up or took a break. Then people finally saw that, where's the Autopsy? Where are those guys?
Kind of came to appreciate it more after it was already done.
Yeah, because you didn't plan to come back.
It took time to sink in because we weren't that popular back then. You know, these same songs as they were before, but people like them better now. I don't know why, but there's a lot of new people, a lot of younger people, you know, that never heard this stuff. So,
plus the scene's evolved so much since then. There's so many bands now, and you know, there wasn't a lot of bands then writing songs with really brutal death metal lyrics, too. You know, now there's, you know, everybody's trying to, you know, write the sickest theme now. So it's a lot different now than it was
back
in those
days. Now most people know what, even people that aren't into it, at least nowadays, have heard of death metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you would have, like, when we first started, if you would have, you know, just mentioned that to the average person and just be like, huh? You know, what the hell are you talking about now? I'm like, oh yeah, I know what that stuff is. I don't like it. Or it's great.
Yeah.
But it must be kind of weird because you're credited like as one of the really big ones in death metal. And other bands which have had success, like Cannibal Corpse and Dayside and Immolation, they say that you're one of the really big inspirational, what is it called, sources for them.
It's pretty awesome to hear things like that. You know, it's very flattering.
Why do you think your band...
Part of it's timing, because we came out before a lot of other bands. So, and then the other part of it is we've always tried to not sound like anything else. There's a lot of metal bands, but I think you can always tell an Autopsy song when you hear it. It doesn't sound like anybody else.
I think the bottom line is great songwriting. Guys got some killer little riffs going, so.
You gotta try.
They're memorable. You know what I mean?
But we had our influences too, you know, so we were kind of, like Keith Richards says, passing it on.
Passing it on.
Because we incorporate all kinds of things that we liked, you know, like Black Sabbath and Slayer and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and added our own sound to all these things that we liked. And
it's nice to be appreciated by other musicians, though, other bands that, we also like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of those bands are bands that we look up to now, you know.
10%. 30%.
Det liksom ikke helt galskap.
50%.
Det crazy.
Fra mandag til onsdag denne uken det Crazy Days med og minus 50% på småbrus fra Ringnes hos Rema 1000. For det slutsummen på kassalappen som teller.
Sommeren bedre med meny, og denne uken får du blant annet 30% rabatt på et stort utvalg spekemat, sommerkoteletter til 79,90 per kilo, 8-pakk Pepsi Max til 109 kroner, og store frosne reker til 119 kroner kilo, både i butikk eller levert hjem. Meny, spiser du bedre, lever du bedre.
Why did you decide to come back? Because you had a long break, and you, most of you played in other bands this time?
We didn't plan to come back. It just sort of happenstance.
Once we started playing again and rehearsing, there was a chemistry and a certain environment that came back with it, a vibe, a feeling that was it was fun again.
Yeah.
So we were having a good time doing it. We enjoyed it again. And back when we stopped doing it, it kind of became where we weren't enjoying it that much. So when it got to the point where we were really liking it and offers coming in to play in shows, it was kind of really easy decision for us to just do
Maryland Death Fest was the kickstart.
Right.
And that was brought on by us doing the Severed Survival extra songs in 2008. And then people started thinking, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, which really, those songs were just to, you know, enhance the packaging.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to be anything else.
It was no intentions of continuing it. Danny and Chris and myself were doing Abscess and really had no plans to end that either. So the way the turn of events, it just...
About a year later, that changed, though.
Yeah.
It was 2009, you know.
Yeah.
Once all of a sudden.
We're doing what we thought we would never do. Yeah.
We swore we would never. Like, nope, not going to do that. We already did it. You missed it. Too bad. But now we're doing it again.
Here you are. Well, it's great for us because you hadn't been in Norway before. You were at the Hits Festival, Hole in the Sky.
Yeah, that was the first time. It's surprising. It never happened before. So we went to Europe and the UK, but we never made it up here. So finally, it's definitely good.
Which we've always wanted to come here.
Yeah, I know.
We wanted to come here.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah. I once read that you, Chris, you get bored if a death metal album is longer than 40 minutes. Macabre Eternal is.
Yeah, here we go.
I have to ask you.
We have some explaining to do, huh?
70 minutes of death metal. Why?
Yeah, that's like a double LP.
We didn't know
how long it was, and I usually do after, like, you know, 8 songs. It depends. I mean, there's exceptions, but a lot of it depends on the band, too, because sometimes it can just sort of, like, sound the same after a while. It depends. I mean, some albums I can listen to over and over again too, but in our case, we did not know how long those songs were. We didn't time it. Like, some songs turned out to be really long. We didn't know how long those were going to be either. But then when we finished, we couldn't bear to take any of the songs off. We thought about it too. We're like, oh, we can take off like 3 songs or something like that, and, you know, hang on to them or something like
but
that
then
for
we were
later.
Like, well, which songs?
What would it sound like without
off?
This?
No.
What would it sound? Yeah, I'm taking mine out of there. No. So we ended up just saying, all right, well, we know we're going to hear some shit about this. I remember even talking about that at Fantasy. We're going to catch some flack for this.
But
we couldn't bear to part.
Right.
So with CD, you can always, like, skip songs if it's too much.
Yeah.
Or you can turn it off if you get tired of it, but no one can say they're not getting their money's worth.
Plus, it's better than putting out a shorter album and then releasing an EP or something right after it and charging everybody for an EP.
I think we're done
now
with EPs for a while. We've, like, EP'd it to death, so... Yeah. Yeah, next one will be another full-length album.
Yeah, are you having any plans for when that will be?
Yeah,
we hope to have it done before this year's over.
Wow.
Recorded. That's going to be like us working at a breakneck pace, though.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, while we're feeling energetic about it.
Yeah. We're hoping to go in the studio in November. That's what we're going to try to do.
That's the plan. So, yeah, we've already got a few new songs rehearsed and... I think it's mostly written, not 100%, but almost all the way there. So we just have to rehearse a lot.
Yeah.
Work.
But the scene is not the same now because when you started out, metal was shocking. Now it's mainstream, so nobody gets shocked if they see a crazy cover or hear a brutal song.
Yeah.
And many people have heard it before, but I still like to hear the story about your first album cover. What did it look like first, and why was this so controversial? I don't think the cover is controversial at all.
No, especially by today's standards. Back then, we didn't think it was that shocking back then. We just thought it was cool.
Yeah.
It was
a guy being torn apart by chains and hooks.
It was like a scene out of the movie Hellraiser, kind of, only the artist...
It was
a friend of ours.
Time.
He did his own version of that. Really,
yeah. The good news is we got the second cover, which is pretty sick too. So
it was. We never tried to be shocking, though. We weren't like, "Oh, we're gonna freak people out."
But we never thought
this.
It was
we're
the
just like
grossest thing
cool.
in the world either. We just thought it was cool, but we were surprised that everyone was so upset about it. What's
the Peaceville, the label that we're on? They had some, I guess, maybe some distributors said that they wouldn't take the album because of the cover. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it got sort of like played up more than it really was. Like, I don't think it was that big of a deal. But Peaceville said, how'd you feel about coming up with a different album cover for a reissue of it? And we just thought, more art, cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he had a great artist lined up to do it. So it just turned
great
out.
Image.
It's funny because
awesome.
Now if we were asked it, we'd probably say, no, hell no, we're not going to do another album cover. But for something. But at the time, it just seemed like a neat thing to do.
We were excited, especially when we saw the second album cover. We were like, all right, now we got two great album covers for one album.
That's I think we were in Europe when we seen the second cover.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was cool. Like, I did a good job on that.
Yeah, you were lucky there because not all bands get cool covers for the second time.
Yeah.
It could have been something really, like, tame to the point where it's just stupid, you know? It looks
just
cool.
I think it's as cool as the first cover.
Yeah, it's not really gory, but
it's
more creepy.
When I was at the dentist the other day, and I was thinking of that cover, because I'm like, there needs to be more. Like, it's our survival album cover.
We're not trying to shock anybody. We never really were. We thought it was funny when people were shocked by stuff, but we just were doing what we thought was fun.
Yeah, we loved horror flicks and gore and all kinds of nasty
stuff.
There
was bands that sung about stuff like, you know, and had gross covers before us. We weren't the first, but...
You got the reaction.
Yeah, we got the reaction. Yeah.
But I always wonder, not many bands have a lead singing drummer. How the hell does this work out? You must have a maniac brain to...
We just didn't have a choice. Our original plan was to have a front person, like just a singer, and it just didn't happen. We tried out like a friend, and that didn't work out, and we just never pursued it. And then Eric and I were going to do all the vocals. We were going to split them up, and then Eric you weren't really into it after he did a song, Mauled to Death, and then didn't pursue.
I would thrash my voice after doing one like take on it, and I wouldn't be able to talk after that.
Yeah,
so I was like, I might not should be doing this, but guess I've learned how to be able to keep my voice.
Now Eric's actually back doing some vocals, but I just kind of got stuck with it. You know, there was no choice. It's like, okay, someone has to do it. So, all right, I'll do it. Fuck it, let's see what happens. And just worked
pretty good.
Yeah, I think if you listen, if you're a musician and you listen to where he puts the words, the phrasing when he's singing. Like to me, I can listen to it and it doesn't sound like a guitar player is singing to the stuff. you know, because of where the time or the placement of everything is.
Have it to where they're, the placement locks in with the drums. Right. That makes it easier for me.
Yeah. I think that makes it unique too to bands that don't have a drummer that's singing, because a lot of people don't ever pick up on that. I think only one or two people have ever mentioned that to me in all these years that they picked up on that, but nobody usually does. But I can hear that and tell when I listen to it. But it's just a unique thing, you know. For
it makes you guys work harder too, because there's no singer up front, so everyone else has to make it extra exciting, you know, because I'm just sitting down in the back relaxing. So these guys got to fucking run around even more and make it nuts. Juggling chainsaws and fucking
the crowd entertained.
That's why I'm singing a little bit more too, because it breaks it up a little bit from just having all the vocals on the drums too. So
and you don't have to juggle chainsaws.
No.
Well, he's doing that too. That's what makes it really good. Singing, playing guitar, and juggling chainsaws. Wow. That are on fire.
On fire.
Yes, impressive.
I feel like I'm looking forward to tonight's concert. I'm getting more than I did in Bergen.
We tried flaming bowling balls, but it was just too much.
We have all our fingers still, so.
Yeah. Haven't worked hard enough yet.
That's right.
But we already talked for almost 25 minutes, and they were asking me to make it short, and I think that's very, very difficult, almost impossible. So I'll just ask you before I give you the last question. Do you have anything to add?
I guess we could add each other. All Tomorrow's Funerals just come out, and it's our new album. It's a compilation of all our EPs and like rarities of stuff that's out of print you can't find anymore. And it has 4 new songs on it as well.
So buy many copies of it, as many as you can.
It's on double vinyl even.
Yeah.
Not limited.
Not limited at all.
No.
Okay, we'll buy many of those. the last question is, the radio channel, they like to have some kind of jingle, and it has its own... they want you to tell them about your greatest rock memory, like the first record you bought, the coolest moment you had with the band, or maybe when you met a big hero of yours, and you have to say it in this form. Hi, this is Chris from Autopsy, and my greatest rock memory is when I was in an elevator with Gene Simmons. I don't know.
Oh, Tony, you mentioned this.
Yeah.
All
right, so
are we all doing this?
You can send it around.
You got one, Joe? I already know what mine is.
Ooh, you do yours. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have anything right now.
Oh, really?
No great rock memories?
Well,
make it fast. She's on limited time.
Hurry. Absu are waiting for me.
Greatest rock memory, I would say, would be first time I saw Black Sabbath live. For their reunion tour, so they came around. It's excellent to see them all back together and playing killer.
Can you say that in one sentence with this "Hi, this is blah blah blah"? And
okay.
My greatest rock memory is.
Hi, I'm Joe Trevisano from Autopsy, and my greatest rock memory is seeing Black Sabbath reunited.
This is Chris Reifert from Autopsy. My best rock memory? First best? This
best.
Is the first
best.
And the best, and that's not one sentence at all. But hearing the Ace Frehley solo album in 1978, and it blew my mind.
You can take, okay.
Do I have to do that again?
If you,
Don't mind,
yeah.
Totally sucked really bad.
I think it was sweet.
Take two. Okay, this is Chris Reifert from Autopsy, and my best rock memory by far was hearing the Ace Frehley solo album in 1978. It destroyed my 9-year-old brain for life.
Hello, this is Eric Cutler of Autopsy. My greatest rock memory is seeing Black Sabbath in 1983 with Ian Gillan on vocals.
Hello, this is Danny Corrales from Autopsy, and my greatest rock memory, well, there's so many, and I'm sure I forgot most of them, so I'll have to say it'll be tonight at the Inferno Fest 2012.
Nice. Wow. Bound to remember this one for at least a minute.
Du har hørt et intervju med Autopsy, innspilt i 2012. Så vidt jeg vet, kommer de ikke til Norge med første, men de skal på UK Death Fest i august, så kanskje blir tur da. Neste vecka skal vi høre igjen et intervju med In Solitude. En god bit det også, siden bandet ikke finnes lenger.
På Cradle of Behemoth-turnéen så var det liksom glappet mellan oss vissa ibland. Alltså det första veckan var ganska jobbigt, men man märkte sen när man kom in i länder vi spelade mycket mer i Holland och Belgien och så där, då var det bra så där. Men man märkte att folk kanske inte greppar liksom så.
Like you death anbefaler jeg videre lytting på episodene med Obliteration, Kadaver og Bloodbath for eksempel. Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Hvis du vil bidra med litt kronasj for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Det også kult om du slenger inn en god anmeldelse av podden der du lytter, for du må spre det glade budskapet, vet du. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!
Sommeren bedre med meny, og denne uken får du blant annet 30% rabatt på et stort utvalg spekemat, sommerkoteletter til 79,90 per kilo, 8-pack Pepsi Max til 109 kroner, og store frosne reker til 119 kroner kiloen, både i butikk eller levert hjem. Meny, spiser du bedre, lever du bedre.